Tape 24, Side 1, House Judiciary Committee, Subcommittee 3, March 20th, 1979, 8:30 a.m., Public Hearing on House Bills 2532, 2441, and 2935.
Call to order the Subcommittee 3 of the House Judiciary Committee. We have hearings set this morning on three court bills, House Bill 2532, House Bill 2441, and House Bill 2935. What I'm going to do, first of all, is I'm going to be skipping around on these bills initially to give the representatives and senators an opportunity to testify. We do this generally as a matter of courtesy to our colleagues, and also because most of them have other committee meetings, we put them on first so that they can get back to doing their business in other committees. So we're going to start out and call Representative Simpson on House Bill 2441.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Max Simpson, and I represent District 59, which includes Baker, Grant, Crook, and Wheeler counties, and a portion of Malheur. And this bill that we have before us this morning, 2441, as a matter of fact, creates a new district court in one of my counties, which is Crook County, and an additional county of Jefferson. And and I'm not going to spend much time. There are other people here from the respective counties, and also Lauren Hicks from the Court Administrator's Office, who will give you the fiscal and evidence as far as the need for this particular district court. Just a little background, one of the justices of peace in Crook County and Jefferson County, and I right now can't tell you which it is, but one of them is retiring and the other one has passed away, and so it's an opportunity to form a new district court in those two counties there, which will serve a great need. Let me just speak to the summary of this bill and then one item inside. This does create a new district court with one judge for Crook County and Jefferson County, and it's to be located in Pineville and Crook County and Madison, Jefferson County, and it requires the governor to appoint a judge or new district court to serve until a successor is elected in 1980 and qualifies. It declares that the county clerks of Crook and Jefferson counties to be ex officio clerks in their respective counties of new district court, allocates the salary of the secretary of the judge of new district court 50% to Crook County and 50% to Jefferson County. This abolishes the justice courts in Pineville and Madras when the term president justice of peace expires or office is vacant, whichever occurs first, and transfers matters, causes, and proceedings then pending to the new district court. And it declares an emergency effective July 1st, 79. We have spelled out in the bill, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, that the The court shall have one judge who shall hold court in the city of Prineville in Crook County the equivalent of at least 2.5 days a week, and in the city of Madras in Jefferson County, the equivalent of at least 2.5 days a week. So you see the division is described in this particular measure. And as I said before, Mr. Chairman, I think that there are others here, as you have described, that will be called upon to testify later. There will be people who will talk about the evidence as far as the need for this court and the fiscal impacts of this court, Mr. Chairman. And with that, I appreciate very much the opportunity to appear first. They are waiting for me downstairs.
Let me ask you this, Representative Simpson. How do the respective county courts or commissions feel about this proposal? Are they in agreement?
Yes, they are very much in agreement, Mr. Chairman. I guess I should have said that. They've been working on this particular district court for quite some time, and both of the counties cooperating in every way to make this a successful thing. I might also say that this particular budget for this court is in the court budget as it now appears before the subcommittee in Ways and Means, which I serve on, Mr. Chairman.
Let me ask you this also. How long does it take to travel from Madras to Prineville?
Well, it depends on how big of a hurry you're in. I suppose maybe 30 minutes, something like that. It's, somebody can help me for sure. I think it's around Jefferson. You understand that Jefferson County is not one of my counties.
You don't set foot.
But I do. I have traveled that. I'd say it's around 20, 30 miles, something in that neighborhood. It's not a great distance.
So we don't have any problem with that half day.
No, I'm sure not.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, next, Representative Gardner on House Bill 2935.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the subcommittee. I'm Representative Mark Gardner, House District 4, Hillsborough, and my remarks are extremely brief. I think there's a large contingent from Washington County representing not only the bench out there, but the bar and some of the related services to the bench in the criminal justice field that will be testifying in much greater detail about the need for the Fifth Circuit judge position in Washington County. I do have at this time a letter from the county commissioners from Washington County to the committee addressed to me, which I'd like entered in the record, and present this to legal counsel at this time. The letter basically outlines that the Board of Commissioners are in support of the Fifth Circuit judge position. And I would say that with the financial difficulties that Washington County is in, which are, I think, a matter of record, for the county commissioners to take such a position really indicates, I think, the pressing need for this additional judgeship for the county. I do work in the justice system in Washington County. My own personal experience, I can tell you that we have an extremely hardworking, diligent bench there on both the circuit and district courts, and there's a growing backlog of cases that just cannot be made up without some additional help. I believe the Oregon State Bar will come in and testify in support of the bill, and I urge you to move the bill to the full committee and into Ways and Means with dispatch. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions from any members?
Thank you.
Representative Magruder on House Bill 2532.
Mr. Chairman, member of the committee, I'm Representative Caroline Magruder, District 1. I am here in support of House Bill 2532, which creates an additional circuit court judge for the 19th Judicial District, which includes Clatsop, of Columbia, and Tillamook counties. We ask that the judge be a resident of or have his principal office in Clatsop or Tillamook or Columbia County, because that's where the need is. The county commissioners are in agreement with this, and I have a great group of witnesses here from Columbia County. I think the legal business in Columbia County must be at a standstill this morning. They will present their testimony, which I'm sure will you will be aware that the need is there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Yes,
Representative Mason.
Just one. The provision on page 3, line 26, requiring one of the judges of the circuit court shall be a resident or have his principal office in Clackamas County.
In Clatsop or Columbia.
One shall be a resident, have his principal office, or have his principal office in Columbia County. Isn't that a relatively unusual provision? Is there any precedent for that?
There's precedent for District 1 in Jackson, Josephine County. One of the judges must be located in Josephine County.
For resident?
Yeah.
Isn't that special legislation?
No. Sure. That's fairly common in multi-county districts.
Okay.
Fairly common provision.
Thank you.
Okay, any further questions?
I'd just like to present this letter from the county commission.
Okay, please do that. Mm-hmm. And Senator Hanlon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Senator Hanlon, District Number 1. I appreciate your courtesy in putting me on early. My Senate Labor Committee is meeting, and it so happens one of my constituents is testifying down there, and he is probably no doubt disappointed that his senator skipped out. You'll understand that, as we are sometimes spread very thin. I merely want to reaffirm, so to speak, in advance, what others will testify to, and that is the need for the additional circuit court in the counties mentioned. It's not that we aren't particularly lawless. We may be particularly independent. However, we have been known to have been visited by rather large groups who are opposed to some of the things we do in our county, and that puts a certain weight upon the court, although not necessarily this one. But I merely wanted to tell you that all the contact I've had from my district has been in support of establishment of the additional court, so I would appreciate your serious consideration of it.
Thank you very much. Any questions, members of the committee? Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you.
Now I will return to House Bill 2935, and I think I'll first of all call on Judge Gillette. Actually, I see, Judge, you're signed up on all three bills. You want to go ahead and just include your testimony on this for all three.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Michael Gillette, a judge of the Court of Appeals, and I'm appearing here on behalf of the Judicial Conference. The conference wishes to note its comments on all three of the bills, Mr. Chairman, if that's permissible.
Sure.
First of all, with respect to 2441, which would create the new district judgeship in Kirk and Jefferson counties, we wanted to specifically note our support of that bill and to point out that the bill has been budgeted and is in the present budget for state courts, so that it would not create any difficulty in terms of the expectations of Ways and Means if this bill were approved. With respect to the other two bills, which create new circuit judgeships, we would point out that the present request for the state judiciary does not include either of those judgeships. We're not opposed to them, but we do want to indicate that in terms of the priorities which have been set in financing for state courts, the district court for Crook and Jefferson counties has been deemed by the people responsible for preparing the statewide judiciary budget more important than the two circuit judgeships. So if you have to balance someplace, we suppose that you may want to give that some consideration. Other than that, I have nothing to offer, except I have some concern about whether the mechanics of in 2441 concerning sitting for 2.5 days is really all that necessary, and I would submit, if anything, a little leeway ought to be left to a judge to make some adjustments. At the most, you probably ought to provide that the judge sit 2 days in each county and leave it up to him what to do with the fifth day. There's no travel problem. You can get back and forth except when it snows pretty quickly.
That was the reason for my inquiry.
I was assuming that. And I would point out to Representative Mason that it is quite common to have provisions with respect to where the residence or principal office of a judge shall be in sparsely populated areas where judges serve more than one county.
Okay. Any questions, members of the committee?
Yes.
Representative Mason.
Are you familiar with the new bail schedule put forth by the Minor Courts Rules Committee?
No, I'm not.
So you have no idea what kind of increased revenue that will bring into the district court?
I don't, no.
You are aware that they've doubled the fine?
I'm aware in a general way that they have, yes.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you very much, Judge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Judge Music?
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity to appear today to present this matter for the courts of Washington County. I think you have before you a letter which I addressed to Mr. Gardner in December of this last year. It, I think, sets forth in detail, quite a lot of detail, the load of the circuit court in Washington County. Now, I also presented to you at this time a copy of the letter which the County Commission has addressed to Mr. Gardner pertaining to the space matter. They are not overjoyed with the idea of financing another court, but they state that they have no opposition and they will provide the space when necessary. Now, the statistics, I think probably the most important ones indicate that their population in Washington County as of July 1 of 1978 was 215,000. For four judges, and based upon a 7.1% increase, as they did last year, would indicate a population of around 230,000 as of July 1 this year, 1979, and this would give it a population per judge of something like 57,000 or more. I think the rule of thumb ordinarily is about 40,000. Now, the cases filed is about 814 for judges as of last year. I recommended 750 to 800 in that area. Now, of course, I in my letter have indicated to you that cases filed anymore are some indication of the caseload, but it's not what it used to be 20 years ago. 20 years ago, we got a case and we were pretty well indicated that there were, that was some idea of the workload. But this day and age, when we have the third player practice, we have four or five cases wrapped in one file folder. When we have the increase in the matter of domestic relations cases from the standpoint of show cause, the non-counted cases, and so on. It's like trying to estimate the tonnage of a vessel, it used to be, on the water, we could see it. But today, it's like seeing, attempting to determine the size of a submarine against a conning tower. It's just too much underwater you don't see. And it's just, it doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. That's the reason why 2 years ago, I started to keep my secretary keep some track of the motions and the extra stuff we did. Now, I have in my case folder here a summary which you may or may not want. It shows our schedules for the since January 1. Judge Peel handles criminal arraignments on criminal matters, pretrial matters on Monday. He handles as many as 70 matters in one day. The average is over 60 for one day. That's in addition to default divorces he handled between 9 and 10 o'clock. I'm not going into juvenile because I have juvenile, my court will summarize that. But I know that for some reason I've been presiding judge for the last 3 years, and I just feel the tension in the workload building, and I couldn't figure out why, because our caseloads were not particularly going to say increasing. The filings looked about the same. But it was this business of the other uncounted cases that I, now we are having trouble finding times for mental hearings, which we start at 8 o'clock in the morning, to get them through by 9:30. We have increasing demands from them for additional time from the juvenile department. And the thing it is that we find is that we just simply cannot find nooks and crannies enough to put in the show causes, the motions and what have you, what we have to handle on top of the other things. I urge you, I'm not going into further detail, if you want to ask questions, I'll be very happy to answer them, but I think that I have set forth in my letter to Mr. Gardner, our need, and I would like to stop at this time in order that others may speak to the bill.
Question from the committee.
What's your average time to trial for a circuit court civil case?
We try to get it, personal injury, about a day and a half, ordinarily.
No, I mean the time from filing to when it gets to trial.
Oh, gosh. I don't, I think statistics-wise, about 8 or 10 months.
How does that compare with other counties?
I think pretty favorably. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much, Judge. Mr. Brisby?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Larry Brisby. I'm a practicing attorney in Hillsboro. The things that I had to say today are directed primarily from the perspective of an attorney who devotes probably 75 to 80% of his time as a trier of civil litigation. My experience in Washington County has been such that we have had a great deal of difficulty in getting cases, as Representative Mason, I believe it is, has asked the question about how long does it take to get a case to trial. As an example, over the last year or so, I've had, I believe it's about 8 cases which have been set for trial. We come up to the day before trial, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we get a call from the clerk's office saying that there are not sufficient judges to try the litigation. Now, that has happened on many occasions with those cases. On each instance, I've been required to pay the expense of all the subpoenas that have been out, standby time for expert witnesses, and all of these things taken together creates an enormous cost to the litigants who are attempting to have whatever interest they're trying to have resolved, litigated. I see this, the cause of this being a variety of reasons, actually. One, I see Washington County as being in the throes of a substantial urbanization. The complexity of the civil litigation is becoming greater and greater all of the time. With the increase in industry and the complexity of the industry that's coming into Washington County, the complexity of litigation is increasing. We also find, I think, in the eastern part of the county, an enormous residential area, which has increased, I think the statistics would bear it out, an enormous increase in domestic relations work. The domestic relations work alone has changed, I believe, from what was intended back in 1973 or earlier when they removed the no-fault situation into a morass of modification proceedings now, where there are efforts being made by both sides to change child custody, support, and a variety of other things. I have personal awareness of one particular situation that took the better part of 3 weeks to try a child custody modification proceeding, which is presently now again pending in the same county, which probably will take a similar amount of time. From the probably in the terms of priorities, the civil litigants are not exactly what I would call at the top. But on the other hand, I think that they do have a right to have expeditious treatment of their particular problems. And I don't think that can be reached until such time as the size of the judiciary in Washington County is increased. And the only way to do that, I think, is to add another judge. I'd be willing to ask any or answer any questions that you might have in that regard.
Any questions from members of the committee? Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Hampton?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Lou Hampton. My address is 1600 South of Cedar Hills Boulevard, Portland, 97225. I practice in Washington County, and although my address is Portland, under a recent office change, we regard ourselves as practicing in the Beaverton community as well as the full Washington County area. We also practice in Multnomah County, so we're aware of the comparative availability of judges. I think many of the attorneys who will appear today are also aware of the comparative availability. I'm a member of the Washington County Bar Association committee that's been charged with making available to you the information about this and, of course, urging its adoption. We also have present today the president of the Washington County Bar Association. He came in just a few moments ago. His name is Mr. Hendershot, and if he may be permitted to address you briefly, he would like that opportunity, although he may not be on your witness roster. I'd like to emphasize third-party practice as an aspect of increasing complexity of litigation, and Washington County is not accepted from the counties that are experiencing a sharp rise in third-party practice. Just as a matter of fact, yesterday, a complaint was laid on my desk, and it's the typical situation of a general practitioner. Single plaintiff, multiple defendants, and these defendants are, in this case, a products liability situation, so we have to go through all the tender questions, tendering to the insurers. The insurers many times will send back because the coverage may be not there at all. So there's not only the flurry of writing letters, but once the case itself starts the litigation process, the potential for third-party claims or fourth-party claims, cross-claims, rises rapidly. Now, this does help the settling of cases. It gives the litigant the perception that judicial machinery is available for the prompt awarding of justice. However, the interim, the immediate impact on the judicial system is profound, and I would urge you to be aware of that. Next, with respect to custody matters, I have detected in my practice an almost meteoric rise in the willingness of fathers to seek custody of children, even fathers of very young children. There was for years an almost rule of thumb that children of tender years would be awarded to the mother. I suspect there's still an inclination to that effect in the minds of most trial judges. However, the fathers feel very encouraged, and to some extent, the women's movement, as it has been identified, has helped to make fathers aware of their responsibilities toward young children. And so there is a definite trend, at least in my perception. I don't have the data on it, perhaps Judge Music has, but there's a clear trend in the minds of young fathers to seek custody. And, of course, that brings about controversy. So the numbers of these custody cases, not only before decrees are granted, but after decrees are granted, are increasing. As a matter of fact, I suspect, Mr. Brisby, that case that he alluded to is one that I'll be appearing before Judge Milnes on. We're scheduled now. This is a post-trial modification. We're scheduled for 3 to 6 days on that one. And we're trying daily, the other attorney, the primary adverse attorney and I, and there will be more than that in it, he and I daily are trying to compress and to digest the issue so as not to take up more than we need to of Judge Milnes' time. But we still have that very, very real problem. In addition to that, I'd be glad to answer any questions you may have. I concur in Judge Music's December 21 letter. He is the master of the statistical data. I don't have those for you. But I, again, would repeat a request that the president of our bar association be permitted to address you.
Lou, because of the relationship and the proximity of Washington County to Multnomah County, do you find both that you have a lot of Multnomah County attorneys that have business in Washington County and that perhaps your criminal dockets and so forth are a little busier because of that proximity?
Well, let me take the first question. I talk with many, many Multnomah County lawyers who are busy in Washington County. For some reason, because I practice in Beaverton, I am seen as being responsible for everything that goes on in Washington County. It's a little bit of a joke, but they say, why do you let this happen? Why wasn't the judge available? And time and again, the Multnomah County lawyer asks me why the case was removed from the docket in the manner Mr. Brisby described, because there were not sufficient judges. Or why did I get out there and have to wait all afternoon on a show cause? Now, that's generally the answer. Washington County is becoming renowned for being a glutted judicial county. That is, having a lot more judicial business than it has the manpower. Now, your second question, Mr. Chair, was what?
Well, in relation to the criminal load in the county.
I really wouldn't want to undertake that. I tried to let my criminal practice decline, and I think for me to feign an expertise in that would be most unwise.
Any other questions? Representative Mason.
Yes, you mentioned third-party practice, and we've heard it mentioned during our hearings on the proposed rules of civil procedure. Do you have an off-the-cuff comment on whether or not the third-party practice is working?
I really should go under the immunity line here, because I think some of my brother lawyers in Washington County would probably not agree with me. I sense that from my conversations with them. I love third-party practice because, in the short run, it helps to settle cases. It helps to give the client the feeling that the ultimate bearer of the risk can be identified. One need not go through lawsuit one, lawsuit two, lawsuit three. And I now can say to people, well, hey, look, it's not my... If my client says to me now, it's not my fault, I want you to sue so-and-so, I can say, we'll do it in the same action. They can, first of all, write the demand or tender letter, and if that doesn't work, then we can go ahead and bring the third-party complaint. And the clients are very, very happy with it. At least my clients are. Now, I recognize there are those who would detract from it.
Any other questions? Thanks very much, Lee.
Thank you.
All right, I will call Mr. Hendershot then at this point.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Burton Hendershot, attorney from Alloa, president of the Washington County Bar. My principal purpose in being here today is to express to you, the members of the committee, that the Washington County Bar is in favor of the creation of the additional circuit court position in Washington County. We're all aware of the backlog, the workload of our present judges, and feel that they should be supplemented by the addition of another judge. My own practice is not of a litigious nature. I'm primarily office-based, so I can't personally speak of from my own knowledge of this, but I do hear of it from other lawyers in my building as well as other lawyers around the county. Those are my comments, if there are questions.
Any questions? Thank you very much. Mr. Harkins?
My name is Jerry Harkins. I am the director of the Washington County Juvenile Department. I'd like to reflect a minute on the need for an additional judge or additional judicial time within the juvenile court system. I think that by comparing the top figures of a chart that were recently distributed, you can see that the total number of hearings that were held in Washington County Juvenile Court has almost doubled in the last 2 years. Now, we face several problems. Number one, we have found that the time of a juvenile court hearing has increased greatly with the filings, the defense, and the attorneys representing the client within the juvenile justice system. A second aspect, which is not included on the sheet, is the custody investigations that are made at the request of a circuit court judge to recommend the placement of children with either the mother or the father in a dissolution proceeding. In 1977, that figure was 65 requests of the circuit court judges. That increased to 102 in 1978. Conciliation services have also increased as a result of people attempting to work out resolution to marriage and divorce problems. In 1977, 156 families were seen in the conciliation services. 212 were seen in 1978. The number of court hearings that are held in the juvenile court is basically determined as a result of the time that a judge is available to serve in the court. We have oftentimes scheduled 12 hearings in a day for a circuit court judge to hear. We have circuit court judges assigned to the juvenile court on a day and a half per week. Consequently, the time that he is there determines the numbers rather than the number of cases needing circuit court judges' decision. With an increase in judicial positions in Washington County, the juvenile court would be requesting additional time from the judges to hear juvenile court matters.
Okay. Any questions for members of the committee? Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Young?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and member of the committee. My name is Bill Young. I'm an attorney practicing in private practice in Forest Grove in Washington County. I started practice 22, 23 years ago in an entirely different type of county that we experience today, and that's one of the reasons I'm here as a private practitioner. Our firm is not as extensively engaged in litigation as Mr. Brisby's. However, we do feel on occasion the same type of frustration he described on having the case set over because of lack of judges on the following day. And this does have an impact upon our firm, its procedures, and certainly our clients' rights. We do have an office practice business which involves probate, and I would like to say that the administration of probate is important to us, and because of the demands upon the judges in our county, we find a delay in having that administered the way we would like. The primary point I think I'd like to make is because of the length of time I've practiced in the county, I've seen a dramatic change in attitude in the people in the county, which is largely a rural-oriented county. When I first started practice, the people that I came in contact with would rather do anything than go to court. They would resolve their conflicts and difficulties between themselves. The people in the county now seem to not only seek out a judicial solution to their problem, but also eagerly do so. And more we see the conflicts not being resolved by the parties themselves or even through the efforts of their attorneys, but for some reason, some force, it gets into court and clutters up the docket. Mr. Hampton touched upon the recent efforts of fathers to secure custody of their children. I see that on a dramatic increase in our office. As a matter of fact, on each domestic relations filing that with which we are familiar, it seems that it's accompanied in every instance with a show cause order, so that the initiating party attempts to secure by a first hearing, sometimes several, advantages over the other party. And this goes on and on and on. So just the raw statistics of a case filed and a case completed, particularly in the domestic relations area, will not disclose the one, two, or three significant hearings, prior decree hearings. And Mr. Hampton mentioned the post-decree hearings. Of course, we're involved in that as well. Those matters do take up time, and the custody matters particularly so. And we do need the Fifth Circuit judge in the county to attend to some of these details so our clients can have their disputes resolved quickly. Do you have any questions?
Any questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Mervyn Brink. I'm in general practice in Hillsborough since 1942. And I can say with some authority, I think, that the matters that have been testified to by these other members of the Washington County delegation are pretty accurate. I've had the same experiences in in trial work. I do a lot of trial work myself, even yet. And as late as yesterday, I had my secretary call the court administrator for a date for a show cause in a domestic relations matter, and it was a matter of some urgency. It was the 19th, and the first date that was available to have this matter heard on a show cause was April 16th, a whole month later. Well, this meant, in effect, that the female client with two small children would have to go to the age-dependent children or welfare department for some temporary assistance instead of getting it from a judge within a matter of a week or so, which used to be the case. And I further emphasize my remarks by saying that I've appeared many times before legislative committees, the question of additional judges. Obviously, since I practiced as long as I have in that county, and was at one time, not too long ago, chairman of the State Bar Association Committee on Judicial Administration. We made an extensive study, of course, statewide of judicial requirements. I think I have the background to say that, in all sincerity, Washington County does now need a Fifth Circuit judge. I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Any questions? Okay, thanks very much. Mr. Burns and Mr. Olson? Keith, you want to both of you, okay?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Keith Burns, representing the Oregon State Bar, and this is Bob Olson, who's on the bar staff. The Oregon State Bar took action on two bills, 2935 and 2441. With respect to 2441, their action was to support those bills that were budgeted, and 2441 fell within that category, supported it. On 2935, which was brought before them at a subsequent time, in view of the severe need for another circuit court judge of Washington County, reasons that you've heard already here today, and applying the criteria of the bar, they support 2935.
Any questions?
Joe? I'm not sure whether you're the proper people to address this question, too. A lot of people have testified that the cases filed and cases tried and so on don't show a dramatic increase, and yet nevertheless there's a great need for this new judge. And I believe them. But as I have heard it from last session and things, the criteria used by Ways and Means is cases filed, cases terminated, because they have nothing else to use. Have you developed a procedure that you can take to the Ways and Means Committee and say that it's more a finer kind of tests and cases filed and so on?
There are various tests, including population and so forth, actually with respect to the Fifth Circuit on population. At this time, it would be slightly outside that perimeter, but in projecting the population, by the time this judgeship would be created based upon this legislation, we anticipate it would fall within the population figures. Now, with respect to the other criteria, Mr. Olson is best able to address that than myself.
Well, the criteria that the bar has been refined, and that's been done primarily by the Judicial Administration Committee, and they have used the Weighted Caseload Project, which has been done in the Superior Court of Washington, and that refinement, which is again based primarily on the cases tried, is and filed, is has been submitted to the committee staff, and we're prepared at some later time to, you know, bring in the people who actually developed that, probably in the Ways and Means process, when they want to get into the details of that.
Let me ask you this, Bob, do you have the figures as to when Washington County was last given an additional circuit judge?
Well, in terms of the current statistics?
No, when They're presently at four. When did they receive their fourth? I was going to recall Judge Music on this, but I thought if you had the figures.
I see.
Why don't, Judge, would you come forward, please? Yes. I do have another question I want to ask you.
I believe that was a thing to see legislature. What the effect was it? But I'm just confused.
I know, for instance,
it's 75, the 75 legislature, and it went into effect, I think, in January 1 of 76.
I know here on in your figures you have in 1974 891 cases filed for judge, and then a dramatic drop in 75 down to 766.
That's what it was. That's reasonable.
Yeah, a new judge. And that's when you got your.
That's when
you
got the other one. Yes, it's been some about 4 years, I think.
All right. The other question I had relates, again, I guess, in this area of the show cause hearings. We've had some previous testimony on some other bills about Abuse Prevention Act filings.
Yes.
And we've gotten some differing testimony from different circuits that some judges will grant these petitions ex parte, others will require a show cause hearing on them. What is the practice in Washington County on Abuse Prevention
Act? Made the practice of any ex parte, our court rules provide that any time an ex parte order is taken, that they must also have a show cause. Order that both parties will have the right to appear in court and later. Now, just the other, it depends upon what happens. If they stick close, then strictly to the family abuse thing, then we will sign an ex parte order of non-harassment. No hearing necessary. We always grant that. But sometimes they sneak in a business about temporary custody of children and that type of thing. And if that's in there, then there should be a hearing. It's best. Even in divorce case, we are all sign a non-harassment ex parte with an affidavit and no hearing necessary. But they have it, so that's the custody of children or that type of order. Before that type of thing, then you have to have a hearing.
So you will often follow the ex parte with a show cause?
If there's anything else other than an arrest.
Okay. Any other questions from members? Okay, thank you very much. Well, that is all of the witnesses who have signed up on House Bill 2935. Is there anybody else in the audience who has not signed up but would like to testify on House Bill 2935? This is the Washington County Circuit Court Judgeship. Okay, I'll close the hearing then on House Bill 2935. Back to House Bill 2441 and call on Judge Campbell.
I'm here to back up Mr. Dudley. Why don't you call him?
Okay.
Give you the
well, would both of you like to come up?
Be fine.
All right.
County Court in support of this bill. Present. My name is Carl Dudley. I practice law in Prineville, Oregon. I'm here today representing the Crook County Bar Association, the Jefferson County Bar, and also the Central Oregon Bar Association. I was named to a committee to see what steps we could take in forming a district court in either Crook County or the possibility of a joint Crook-Jefferson County district court in, I believe, 1976. And this year the opportunity arose when, as as I believe Representative Simpson stated, that one of the judges passed away and the other one retired. At this time, we have the unanimous support of both the Crook and Jefferson County Bar Associations, as well as the unanimous support of the Central Oregon Bar Association for this district court. There's no opposition that we know of in either Crook or Jefferson counties to the formation of the court. Both of the current justices of the peace have stated they will resign upon formation of a new district court, which will alleviate a problem which was caused in, I think, Union and Wallowa counties, where I believe right now they've still got a justice of the peace, or a couple of them. At the same time, they have a district court in that area. As a practicing attorney, I can see where a new district court will very much help the present circuit court. One thing, that the jurisdiction and justice court is $1,000 maximum, and district court is up to $3,000. Cases that now are filed in circuit court can be filed in district court, and I think that'll eliminate a lot of the problems with crowded dockets in the circuit court in the 11th Judicial District. Having a district court judge in Crook and Jefferson counties will give the circuit court in the 11th Judicial District a potential for a pro tem circuit judge who can sign ex parte orders, maybe juvenile hearings, other things such as this. Right now, we're seeing a lot in justice court automatic appeals to the circuit court in DUI cases, minor criminal cases. They appeal it automatically to the circuit court since the justice court isn't a court of record. I think this will, having a district court in Jefferson and Crook counties will help eliminate this almost automatic appeal on a lot of these cases, since the district court will be a court of record. It would have to be appealed to the court of appeal. Because of the cases that would then be filed in district court instead of circuit court, I think it's going to shorten the waiting time for trials in the circuit court. Right now, in my recollection, I don't have any knowledge as to when a case is filed, when it comes to trial, but once, I think the only thing we can really look at is when the certificate of readiness is filed. We're waiting about 3 months in the 11th Judicial District, where we have three judges for six counties before a case is tried. I think by formation of a district court in these two counties, that would cut it down some. There are some problems with the justice court, the way it works. As I'm sure you're aware, there's no requirement for the justice of the peace to be legally trained. A lot of times, the justice of the peace has to rely on the district attorney in the county where he sits to advise him on civil cases, the civil cases that are brought in justice court. This takes up a lot of time of the justice of the peace as well as the district attorney, which I think would be eliminated if a legally trained district court judge was serving in Crook and Jefferson County. Sometimes the justice court or JPs admit that they have trouble with the legal decisions that are called for in trials. You find in preliminary hearings, DUI cases, ruling on objections and motions in trials, most of the time the judges are, or the JPs are handicapped because they really don't know what decision they should make. They do okay as far as the factual issues, but when you get down to the legal decisions that lawyers spend lots of time on and at least 3 years preparation in law school, the JPs just have a lot of problems with them, and they're the first to admit it. As stated before, the Supreme Court Administrator has made provisions for the joint Crook and Jefferson County District Court in his budget. The Crook County and Jefferson County courts both support this bill. The only letter I have is from the Crook County Court. The Supreme Court Administrator has letters from circuit court judges in the 11th Judicial District as well as from Crook and Jefferson County Court. One additional item, I was practicing law in Union Wallowa counties before I moved to Central Oregon, and was worked on the district court when it was formed in Union Wallowa County, so I can speak from experience that it did help a lot in that area. There you have about 70 miles to drive between the two towns. In Crook and Jefferson County, you've got 30 miles to drive. It really took a lot of pressure off Judge Wosley, a circuit court judge up in Union Wallowa counties, by having a district court judge there. I noticed that the docket in circuit court was cleaned up a lot, as well as having a relatively short time in district court as far as civil trials. And I know the attorneys in Union Wallowa counties use the district court for the minor type cases, those under $3,000, and from talking to the attorneys in both Crook and Jefferson County, and my feelings is it will be used exclusively for these type of cases. Thank you.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Dudley. You've heard Judge Gillette raise a question about cementing into the statute here the requirement that the judge hold court 2.5 days, or the equivalent of 2.5 days a week in one county and 2.5 days in the other. Do you feel at all uncomfortable with that kind of a mandate, or do you think that there is some other way we could phrase that would perhaps give a little more flexibility, or do you think the judge ought to have that kind of flexibility?
No, I believe the judge ought to have flexibility. I'm sure there'll be some times when he'll spend 4 days in one county and 1 day in the other county, just because of the way the trials have been scheduled. And I would think that something about equal time, or maybe 2 days in each county, something like that, to give the judge more flexibility would be a good provision.
Any questions from other members? Judge,
are there currently justices of the peace in Prineville Magis?
Yes, there's one justice of the peace in each. I'm not sure if they are just pro tem at this time. I believe they are in Crook County. I think Jefferson County, he has been appointed as JP, but he has stated that he will resign.
Are they lawyers?
Neither.
Neither of them. But you do believe they will resign?
Yes, we have their assurance, and I have no reason to doubt their words.
Can you tell me whether this bill was drafted in the Legislative Council's office?
We sent several drafts of the bill from the Jefferson Crook County attorneys got together and drafted some, and it looks like a rework of the Union Wallowa County bill to me. So I think it was drafted in the Legislative Council.
There's a specific provision in the statute that's not mentioned here that says there can't be a justice of the peace in a city where there's a district court, and I just wondered why that wasn't mentioned. It would not be difficult, I don't think, to fix that up in the bill, but I just wondered why it wasn't there.
Probably because no one was aware of it. I know right now there's one in Enterprise, and there's a district court judge in Enterprise, so I'm sure if anything, it was an oversight on our
Thank
part.
You.
Judge Campbell?
I'm J.R. Campbell. You'd have to say that I'm a late circuit judge from the 11th Judicial District. I'm here on behalf of the Central Oregon Bar Association. It seems like that this would be an ideal time to do this. This one justice of the peace died, like November, October, sometime like that. This fellow who's got this temporary appointment as a state police sergeant retired, probably 70 years old. And the other fellow over in Crook County, he retired because of ill health, and he's been replaced on a temporary basis by the municipal judge over there. You won't have any hassle.
We shouldn't have any problem.
No problem there. We don't know anybody that's in opposition to this thing. Whoever was appointed district judge would get a pro tem assignment from the circuit court, which means that Crook and Jefferson County, in effect, would have a resident circuit judge, which would help the lawyers and would help the circuit court. Okay, any questions?
I don't have any. Congratulations on your recent appointment.
Thank you, thank you.
Representative,
you just kind of slipped in that little thing about pro tem in the circuit court as if it was just going to be a normal everyday thing.
Well, I would think so. We have one district judge now, Judge Tolliver in Deschutes County, and he has a pro tem assignment, and And in the event the circuit judges are gone, the lawyers can go down there and get an ex parte order signed, and I suppose this is up to the court administrator's office, and maybe even up to the chief justice, but I think it would be a routine type thing. I don't think it would be a problem.
It's routine, I know, in Curry County.
Yes.
All down there doing it all the time.
No.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
That is all of the people who signed up to testify on 2441. Anybody else here to testify on 2441? Okay, I'll close the public hearing on 2441, and we'll go back to sign up here on 2532, and I'll call Judge Calver.
Don Calver, Circuit Judge, Columbia County. Hope you're not tired of hearing about judges because only have one to go.
You're talking to lawyers, of course, and we can't show that.
Oh.
I'm have to practice in your court, you know.
You're always welcome. Taking a look at the... well, first, let me respond to your abuse bill, abuse prevention bill, that question you posed to Judge Musick. In Columbia County, the practice is to sign ex parte orders when they come in, and not only support restraining orders, move out of the house, don't spend the money, whatever. And we do not set them down for show cause here.
We do not.
Cannot afford the luxury of doing so. And what works best for us, if someone then comes in and asks, the ex parte orders are set up, tells them how to ask for a hearing, then a hearing is set if one is asked for. But we don't set up hearings because we don't have the time, and that way oftentimes we don't have to set up a hearing, take up docket time, and find out no one shows up. So that's the way we do it in our particular county. The question about one judge being resident of a particular county, that's long been the practice, even before, and I will soon have been a circuit judge 11 years. That was the requirement in our judicial district before, that one had to be a resident of Clatsop County, and one had to be a resident of either Columbia or Tillamook. When I was appointed, then you had to be a resident of Columbia, and that's so that multi-judge district, all of the judges don't end up in the county with the largest population. And
Representative,
you answered my question. I was going to ask you. I asked the question. First, people kept replying, "Well, that's always the way it's always been, not the way to," which is not much of an answer. But I wasn't going to ask you what the public policy behind that was, and you anticipated that answering the question.
Okay, fine. The if you look at the state bar statistics, they've come up with guidelines in answer to Joan Robinson's question. They've come up with guidelines, and our judicial district is comprised of three. It's Columbia, St. Helens, Clatsop, which is Astoria, and Tillamook, which is Tillamook. And insofar as those stats are concerned for Columbia County, they say that when the number of cases filed exceeds 870 per judge and the number of cases tried exceeds 87 per judge, a new judicial position should be created. And last year we had 850, which is 20 less than they talk about the filings, and they tried 110 cases, which is about 23 more than meets the statistics. And I'll point out in a minute why the bar guidelines are misleading when it talks about that. But even using their statistics for Columbia County, we meet or exceed. The problem that you have, of course, is Tillamook County, which is an hour and 45 minutes away. It's a population of about 16,000 to 18,000, and they don't meet it, so they bring down the average of the county. Judge Mayer has been Judge Bohannon died. Judge Mayer was appointed. He's been a circuit judge a little over 1 year. And already he's pointed out the problem. There is no district court in Tillamook County. There will not be a district court in Tillamook County for a long time to come because of the political situation. And the lady was just, she's very active, very popular, and she was just reelected. And so even if you appointed a district court judge, the position wouldn't go into effect until her time was up, and her time doesn't look like it's going to be up for quite a while. The other problem, Judge, so he's needed down there to cover, because a lot of people file district court matters and circuit court. The other thing that you find is that it takes him an hour and 45 minutes to travel. So what you've got is 3.5 hours a day for a judge spent traveling, whether he comes from Clatsop County, whether he comes from Tillamook County. In this day and age, mode of travel is faster, but it is not practical. It doesn't work because the judges have to be in their county to sign, and if they're the only ones available, it's absolutely necessary. Lauren Hicks is here from the Supreme Court, and he can tell you that one of the great plans and schemes of Supreme Court judges in the last 11 years that I know of since I've been a judge is to take these judges in these counties where the population isn't so great and you think the filings aren't so great and move them around the county. And they're trying to get, in essence, I don't want to say power, jurisdiction to do so in the Supreme Court. But he can tell you, and I'll tell you, that you get great reticence on the part of circuit judges when you're going to tell them you got to go here and you got to go there, because they know when they come back, no one's done their work. That it doesn't resolve the problem. It creates more problem in your own home counties than it can solve and resolve when you spend 3.5 hours a day going someplace else. The commissioners in our county, in Tillamook County, in Clatsop County, are in support of a judge. And that isn't something that you always get. Also, we have the facilities in Columbia County because we have an extra courtroom. We built a new courthouse. And we have the facilities, and so it is not going to be much of an additional expense for Columbia County to go ahead and house, nor is it for Clatsop County, because you don't have to run two jury trials. You can always have a contested divorce, of which I'm getting so tired of hearing, I can't believe. There's more and more of them, not only contested divorces, but also show causes and modifications. The Bar Association of Columbia County is here en masse in support of our bill, and they can tell you, any of them that you'd like to ask, why we need another judge. Now, I'd like to get back to the statistics that the state bar uses and why it is unrealistic. One of the things that's unrealistic, if you look at our juvenile referrals that are filed, in 1977, and we don't have the 78 figures quite yet for you, but...
excuse me, which table is that?
Oh, that's table 13. And they're no less this year than last. There were 1,315 petitions filed in juvenile court. Now, in the last three sessions, and in the interim, the legislature has spent a good $1 million in grants trying to redo and rewrite the juvenile court bills, omnibus and whatever that concern juvenile court. We spend a lot of time in Columbia County on juvenile court matters. We had petitions that were filed, 376. We had hearings, 620. Some of those were ex parte hearings, but even if you took a great number of those, even if you just cut that in half, you got 300 and some hearings, live hearings with people that are not included in these cases tried. Well, our statistics are in this table and are spelled out, but we spend 32 days on juvenile matters. Until a couple of years ago, Judge Mason, district judge who was always appointed circuit judge pro tem, and helps me out because he does all of my mental hearings, helped out a half a day a week on juvenile court matters. He got so busy that he couldn't do it. So now I had to take that over and add that on to what we're doing. So we're spending about close to three quarters to a day a week on juvenile matters.
Mr. Chairman.
And
Mr. Representative Romero?
Yeah. Judge, I'm sorry that I arrived late. Sure. I missed the earlier part of your testimony. Columbia County has far and away more juvenile referrals and part of your caseload than the adjoining counties. Why is that?
Well, number one, we're a bigger county. And referrals, as I point out to people, the only thing I can tell you about referrals is that I really can't respond to that, because these are referrals that come in from police agencies, from schools, from parents, and it isn't anything that the courts do to go out, you know, to drum up the business. So that isn't something that you can play a game with statistics. Those are referrals to the juvenile court. Why we have more petitions and more hearings is that Clatsop and Tillamook, many of the referrals, a lot of the referrals that they get, of course, are from out-of-county kids. They'll get referrals, kids down in drinking, raising hell, and so they'll send it to the home county. Well, they get out of a lot of hearings that way, and a lot of petitions that have to be filed by referring them to Columbia, Multnomah, wherever.
Do you get many petitions based upon your exercise of extraterritorial jurisdiction? Kids go across the river?
Yes, and we've never had a problem with that. I'm trying, and I know that you got a bill coming up today, and I want to tell you that they go over to Bob's Superette, I think it is, over in Longview, and shoplift all the time. We've never had a problem on they refer them back to us. Never had a witness problem. If they got a witness problem, we obviously aren't going to go ahead and convict some guy who's got a witness problem. And to go ahead and say that court shouldn't have jurisdiction over a kid in their own county because he goes over to Longview or goes over to Vancouver and commits an offense just does not make sense.
I'd like to have you as a witness on the floor today when we worry about this. But I want to pursue that a little further. What happens? Do the juvenile officials over in Longview call you up?
No, they always send a written referral. Or if the kid's in detention, then they'll call us up and we go get the kid.
And so you bring the kid back and
try
an adjudication in your own community.
We have an adjudication. Yeah, never had a problem in almost 11 years.
How many of these do you have? Quite a few?
Yeah, well, I think quite a few. I suppose you get maybe 20, 30 a year referrals on that.
And if you didn't get them as a referral, they'd be what, adjudicated in Washington?
They'd be adjudicated in Washington, which wouldn't be in their own county. And if you got a kid on a suspended commitment to McLaren, and what are they going to do with him? Well, they're going to put him on probation where he never goes back. There's no way that you can handle a transient kid that comes over and shoplifts in your county. What it would do is, you know, kids learn good, and if you want to be a shoplifter, you go to Washington because there isn't a whole lot. They're not going to keep you over there. They're not going to send you to reform school for a shoplifting charge. They don't want to handle you over there. You should be handled in your own county. The idea is you're to take these juveniles and try to help them out and get them squared away. So what difference does it make if they go to Multnomah County? Why is Washington any different than Multnomah County? You send it back to me.
I'm with you.
I already talked to Representative Magruder, too, so.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, what we can get.
And I think Judge Edison talked to Bugis, Representative Bugis, because they've also got the Columbia River down there.
Work, yeah.
That's still all wire.
I think Representative Frohmeyer is managed to open up Pandora's box here, so we'll jump right in.
Excuse me, Representative Mason. I realize that he has been strayed from the line of testimony. We have a number of other witnesses who would like to testify on this. And if you wouldn't mind, if it is, really isn't germane to what we're talking about here, could you reserve your question until after the hearing?
Depends. I just see a lot less necessity for the judgeship now.
I'd be glad to more happy to answer than you have afterwards.
No, really, I mean, just in fairness to the other witnesses, that would be all right with you. I wanted to move. Any other questions? No, go ahead.
One question. Why is an 18-year-old any different than a child? Why do you want to exercise jurisdiction over a child you wouldn't have over an adult?
Why? Because I think this, that the saddest thing that I see as a judge is not the juvenile, but the 18-year-old, the 19-year-old kid who is before me in adult court faced with a felony or criminal charge. And I just think that you've got a magic cutoff age. It's arbitrary. You got to pick a figure, and they picked 18. The idea is that we're to help kids. That's what juvenile court is. That's what the philosophy is. To respond to that, I say, well, then why treat them any different? Why don't we give them jury trials at age 8 when they go out and shoplift? Because that isn't the way we treat our kids. As we have kids and we raise them, well, we try to keep them in the nest till they're 26, 28, and, you know, keep raising them. The magic age is 18, and I think if that is the age, then we should treat them as juveniles until that age. And if the age is 16, then we should treat them as juveniles till 16. Whatever the age is, the idea is, the philosophy is, treat them as young kids, try to get them squared away. And the greatest part of thing I've ever done as a judge is dealing with juveniles, and I'm hyped up about them, and I can expound for hours. But
you don't treat them as juveniles. You remand them, even though they're under 18?
Yeah, seldom.
You take their juvenile convictions and use them for sentencing in an adult court.
Okay.
So that's a myth that they're treated as there's a special treatment for children.
No, I would disagree with that. You know, why, to respond to that, if you go out and commit 17 burglaries when you're 17 years old and next month you turn 18 and you go out and commit a burglary, why shouldn't I be able to take a look at the 17 you committed 2 months ago and say, hey, you didn't learn as a juvenile and now we want to look at it as an adult. Sure, you always look back, but you use it within. But again, you know, it's either black or it's white, if I understand what you're saying, and then they should be treated no different no matter what age they are, which doesn't make sense to me, really. Why do what age would you have? It's an arbitrary age, I'll grant you. But what age do we say that you're no longer a child? Is it 6 or is it 8?
I think I will exercise my prerogative at this point, Mason, and move on to the other witnesses, because we have session at 10:45 this morning, and I do want to get all of the rest of the witnesses on. You brought quite a contingent down with you, Judge.
Okay, I just...
Any other...
I would like to say just a couple more things, and then I'll quit.
Go ahead.
And that's on the statistics on our calendar now, we're roughly 5 to 6 months ahead setting cases. I can tell you, in Columbia County, they need a judge. The judge they got is overworked. That's me. I'm 46 years old. I'm beautiful, but I'm also tired and I'm burnt out. And I want to tell you this, that this judge that you're going to get isn't going to help me. I don't plan on running again. I got a year and 9 months and about 10 days to go, and I'm tired, and the job's too busy for whoever's there. They need someone else, and they also need an additional judge, and I'd like to throw that out to you, because all I do is shoot from the hip. You don't have time to do an adequate job. It isn't fair to the guy that does it, but more important, it isn't fair to the public, and Columbia County needs another circuit judge. Okay.
Thank you very much, Judge. Call on Judge Mason.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be very brief. I'm Jim Mason. I'm the District Court Judge for Columbia County, and I've been the District Court Judge for 6 years, a couple months more. I was a justice of the peace a couple years before that and in practice at the same time. I just want to say that I know how hard Judge Calver works, and I think he works efficiently, and I think we need some help. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Bob Lucas.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I am Bob Lucas. I'm speaking on behalf of, frankly, just myself, and as a member of the bar and a trial lawyer in Columbia County for the last 10 years. I might say that I've been in private practice the last 4, and I was a DA there for 6 prior to that, so I've seen it from both positions. I also serve as a circuit court judge pro tem around the state, and I do see how they do things in other counties. I go to Multnomah County quite often, in fact, almost every month for a couple days. And I'm convinced Columbia County, and I notice that the bill says resident of Clatsop or Columbia, but Columbia County is primarily where we need the help. There's just no question about that. Frankly, there's been some questions earlier about the judicial district. I'd like to point out, in my judgment at least, the judicial district concept as it pertains to the 19th judicial district is kind of a fallacy. You know, we have three judges, and we have one judge per county. It's essentially each of them have their own district. And there is some changing, but because of the workload, it's one judge per county. Washington County used to be in a judicial district, and they were carved off 8 or 10 years ago because of the workload that they had. One of these days, I would expect that that concept will be revised, and we'll be looking at Columbia County solely. And I say that because when I go to Multnomah County and try cases, I can get more cases out than Judge Calvert can because I don't have the administrative workload. The staff, the budget, the juvenile department, those responsibilities take away from his court time. And so it's really not fair comparing a one-judge district to the workload of a court like Multnomah County, where the judges don't have all those administrative burdens. Sufficient court time doesn't exist in our county now. I've been in court on many occasions until 7:30 at nighttime, just getting through because Judge Calvert runs a late court. And frankly, the litigants don't like it. The attorneys don't like it. It doesn't work out right. You can't be efficient that long all the time. He has used pro tems. He's brought people in. He's done everything that he can to try and get the workload out, as far as I can see. And yet, we're still, as he says, about 6 months to a trial setting after an issue, and it's just too long. I noticed that, in particular, in pending suit matters with regard to divorce cases. You know, we have no short-term scheduling. If you have a couple that's getting that's separated and there's a problem with temporary custody or child support, you can't get a court hearing within a couple weeks, as you should be able to do. He's booked up solid, and there's just no short-term time, and that's something that needs to be budgeted in his schedule, but he can't do that because of the workload. If we had a little more help, he'd be able to do that. One other thing I'd just point out to you briefly, when I went to Columbia County in 1969, there were the attorneys and the firms have doubled in our county since 69. And that, of course, has increased the workload, too. I have no other comments unless you would have some questions of me.
Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Mark Cassell.
Thank you. My name is Mark Cassell. I'm the district attorney in Columbia County. I'd just like to point out a few things from the criminal standpoint. I started practicing down there in 1972 as a deputy district attorney, and I can tell you that the criminal docket has increased tremendously since that time. At the present time, a case that would come out of, say, for example, grand jury at this time will be set for probably October or November, which is about 6 or 7 months. But that's a little bit deceiving, counting on the fact that that'll probably happen, that the trial will be tried within 6 months, because what happens is there may be two or three cases set on that particular day in case one should settle. And what happens is, on many of those cases, they don't settle, and then that case that was an alternate case will get set over again. And the problem is compounded because that case may never get to trial for 9 months, maybe a year. This leads to a tremendous amount of problems for our office, for example, and for some of the cases in order to effectively prosecute them. Because many times, by the time that 8 or 9 months goes by, you may have a witness who has moved by that time or may have moved over into the state of Washington, for example, or on the river, and this happens fairly often, which means that we have to reissue subpoenas for that particular case, and now we're talking about issuing out-of-state subpoenas over in the state of Washington, which is a considerable amount of work. In addition to that, we lose witnesses. We lose witnesses when you wait that long a period of time, and oftentimes we have to negotiate these cases. We're put under pressure to do it because we simply don't have the same amount of evidence we had 3 or 4 months or 6 months earlier or a year, depending on what the situation is with that case. Oftentimes we'll get a very serious case like a homicide, for example, in which that person, he cannot meet the bail, which means that you have to try him within 60 days, according to the laws passed by this legislature. If that happens in our county with one judge, and that particular case takes a week, in some cases it takes longer than that, we had one for 3 weeks, that backs off the entire circuit court docket for that period of time, which is a tremendous amount of criminal cases and civil cases that get set over to different dates, which backs them up another 3 or 4 up to 6 months. So As a result of this, it makes it a bit more difficult for us to prosecute these cases and bring them to trial and to justice in a timely fashion. We get complaints from the defense that it's unfair to their clients, that they have a right to go to trial and have the matter resolved. They don't wish to plead guilty. They want to get on with their life. They're having difficulty getting jobs, et cetera, because they're pending this trial for such a long period of time. In addition to that, they complain to our office and try to put pressure on to resolve the matter in terms of plea negotiations, in that it's affecting their civil clients. Their cases have been settled, and they have a right to go to trial. These are just some comments that I'm trying to point out to you. In addition to that, there are often times, like for example, we have Monday set down for arraignments and motions in our particular county. That's the same time and the only time that's available to the court to have sentencing. We try to set it up so that the sentencings take place after the arraignment, so that we can move things along fairly quickly and sentencings take more time. Lately, it seems as though we're continually getting into sentencing after 5 o'clock, into 6 o'clock. We've set up a policy down there. We try to bring the victims of crime in before the court in a particular case. We're talking about felony cases now in certain court, so that they can address the court and tell them what their problems, what the injuries they received, etc. And it's very unfair for them to be sitting down in the circuit courtroom in Columbia County at 6:30 and they make that known to you, and oftentimes are unwilling to do so. So these are just some of the problems that have arisen as a result of our need for another circuit court judge. If I can answer any questions, I'd be glad to do so.
Do you have more or less a percentage of plea bargain cases than other counties or comparable counties?
I don't really know how I can answer that question because I don't have statistics on how other counties do it. I don't think that we, I think we're probably average, but that would just be a guess. I couldn't give you an accurate answer to that. I can tell you one thing, the filings are probably misleading in our county because since I've been running the office, and I think it was very similar when Bob Lucas, whom my predecessor, was running it, we don't discharge as many charges as we can possibly come up with on a particular individual. Some people do that, and then they use those as tools to plea negotiate. We haven't made that a policy in Columbia County. A grand jury felony case, for example, and we have legitimate charges, ones that we could bring to trial, and we have sufficient evidence, then the grand jury returns indictments. If there's not sufficient evidence, or the kind of cases that we could possibly use for negotiating lever but don't, we generally don't file on those. So the number of filings that we would have would probably be lower in that respect because our policy is a little different. In other words, we charge the ones we think we can prove.
Obviously, the thrust of my question was, is your county abnormal because of the policy you have about negotiating or not negotiating a plea such that more cases end up being at issue?
I don't think we'd be abnormal. But I have no way of telling you what everybody's doing in every other county. If I had the statistics, I could probably tell you.
I'm wondering, on the one hand, would my Representative Schroeder's bill on enhancing the penalty for trespass to nuclear facilities, then you certainly will need another circuit. But I'm wondering
that we're going to need another district one.
Is there any correlation between the Trojan situation and your need and request for an additional circuit judge?
Well,
those are basically district court cases that I see.
They've been all district court cases so far. The only time we've had to use the circuit court was during time of arraignments and so forth. These things took a whole week, for example, to arraign 275 people with the courts, and we used the circuit court extensively, maybe for 2 or 3 days during that period of time on the first two. Fortunately, the last time we were able to get pro tem judges coming in from various parts of the state to alleviate that situation so the circuit court can continue to operate with the present office.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Berkeley Smith.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Berkeley Smith, I'm a deputy district attorney in Columbia County. Prior to that, for a short while, I was in private practice in Columbia County. I've been out there approximately 4 years, and I grew up in Columbia County in St. Helens. So what I'd like to, first of all, I've supplied you with what's called the 19th Judicial District's need for an additional circuit judge. I'd like that to be amended to the record here today. I think that to just kind of give you a framework of what's happening in Columbia County,
like you to know what our typical week looks like. Also, I'm the chairman of the docket committee for the Columbia County Bar Association, so I've been involved in this for an extended period of time, trying to figure out ways to help out in this situation. One thing we've done is we've gone to starting at 8:30 in the morning. Most courts, of course, start later than that. And what we've done is we've gone to a pretrial system on criminal matters, which usually each morning there'll be one or two, sometimes three pretrial matters set. The attorneys will arrive and we'll go over those matters, and if usually this is with Judge Calver so that we can get some feel for his thoughts if we're talking about sentence and so on. So we're starting early, first of all, and then he gets into his usual trial docket. Now this would be the Tuesday through Friday type of thing, and as it's already been testified to, it is the usual course that we go past 5 o'clock and sometimes late into the evening. The reason for that is because of scheduling of the docket. We want to get the case done so that we don't have to go over into the next day and thereby bump a case, which we're talking about bumping 6 or 7 months. So Judge Calver is out there working long hours. Now there's appended to the packet I've given you some of the a reflection of the overtime that he's put in. It's based on some statistics kept by his secretary. We're talking about we've heard about the 6 month delay. One thing I think that should be pointed out, another practice that we've used, which as I understand it for various reasons we won't be able to use in the future, is we've gone to, since we do have this extra courtroom that we've talked about, usually twice a year for a week, we've asked for a pro tem circuit judge who has come out, and we've run, in essence, two circuit courts at the same time. Our docket has gotten much further behind than 6 months at times, and that's when we bring the extra pro tem assistants in to try and get that figure back down. From what I understand, that's been put out at the judicial conferences and so on, our pro tem assistants from now on we're not going to be able to get. We'll still be able to use exchanges, but that means we'll still just have one judge. I'd also like to have put it on the record, this is our docket for yesterday. Now Mondays is our motion day, default day, and so on. You can look at that docket. Usually on Mondays we're always there past 5 o'clock. Monday afternoons. Monday morning is juvenile. Thursday mornings is juvenile. We usually start always at 8:30 with a hearing there, and there's more hearings than what we can do, and we always go right through the lunch hour. Judge goes right through the lunch hour, goes up to circuit court, and starts again. Like those figures on his overtime, that was figured out for the hour and a half for lunch. That was talking about using the bar guidelines, the usual judicial lunch, if you will, is that. That's not the case in Columbia County. Many times he just goes straight through, no lunch at all. So our typical day out there is long. We need a judge. Now in deference to my boss, Mr. Sells, I think I can't give you any figures as to settle or negotiate more cases. But my experience has been, when I was first on the defense side and now on the other side of the fence, is what has happened is since we've gone to the pretrial, also on the particular day the cases are set for trial, there will be three criminal cases or four set. One primary, three alternate. And usually we'll try and pretrial all those at the same time. So where is the pressure put? The pressure is put in my position, or Mr. Sell's position, that we've got a problem. We've got all these cases, we're talking about a 6 month set over, and it does happen where we lose witnesses, we lose track of people, and so we end up dismissing cases. This happened recently on one case. And you lose people, and in essence you lose cases that something should have been done. I think that there is the pressure put on us to
in essence, say, well, this case, you know, we'll end up going to trial on, and we're going to have problems here, so we better settle these over here. The pressure is there, and it's been my experience and my impression that there are more cases over in the circuit court being settled or negotiated now than there were 3 years ago. That's just a general impression. Maybe some of the other defense attorneys might have a comment on that. I think also these figures point out, now these figures were gleaned basically from the annual reports that are put out by the court administrator's office, as I understand it. Basically, just to give you a capsule of what's happening in Columbia County. You talk about the 850 filings, and Judge Calvers talked about the juvenile filings, but also there's a number of other things that are not included, such as the probate, the adoptions, your mental hearings. One thing also I want to point out, on the mental hearings last year, there were 14. Year before, there were 22. Judge Mason, acting circuit court or circuit judge pro tem, has always handled that. Now, what's the typical situation there? Usually we find out about it the day before. We all have to review the paperwork. We come in, usually early in the morning, to start the hearing. In other words, to try and get this terminated as soon as possible so that Judge Mason can get on with his trial docket. I know in talking to Judge Mason that his scheduling has increased. He's been considering having to turn this back over to the circuit court because he doesn't have the time to handle it, particularly last year when we had an increase and we were up to 22. So that's an added pressure that's there, just to say that, well, the district judge is helping out, which also in the annual report did not reflect how much our district court does assist us on just arraignments, let's say. If you have someone in jail who needs to be arraigned, and Judge Calver is in the middle of trial, can't get to it, or we're talking about having to do it late in the evening hours, Judge Mason also assists at times on those types of things, which aren't reflected in the statistics. But his caseload is increasing, and it's becoming more prevalent that he cannot assist us. He doesn't have the time because he's also just overscheduled with what's going on. Entertain any questions at this time.
Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. David Williamson?
Mr. Chairman? My name is David Williamson. I'm an attorney in private practice in Columbia County. I just have a few brief comments. I would like to say that the testimony that you heard from the people in Washington County as far as the problems they're having, the reasons for their docket problems and such, also go for Columbia County. I won't go over many of those things, just one or two little things. You heard testimony about divorce cases, domestic relations cases, in particular show causes. I'm of the opinion that where child custody is an issue, the faster that you can get to the court and get temporary custody decided, the better off you are, because I believe that whoever has the child has an advantage. If you've got a case where you want to show cause and you're looking at 1, 2, sometimes 3 weeks down the line, I believe that that can affect the outcome of the case. I've been in practice since about 1976, and in these divorce cases, you've also heard about the husband seeking custody. I handled a lot of default divorces back then, sometimes several of them a month. I very seldom have a default divorce anymore. They're almost all contested. So just in those few years, I've seen quite a dramatic change there. As far as criminal cases go, I don't feel sorry for the district attorney's office. I've noticed that it is much easier, I shouldn't say much easier, but it is easier for the defendant to negotiate a settlement now than it was several years ago. And I do believe that it is because of the pressure on the district attorney's office from the docket. I might point out that sometimes defendants lose witnesses in the process. Just as as kind of an historical note, my father was the district attorney in that county from 1960 through 1964. I think he was paid $4,000 a year, and he did it part-time. We now have a district attorney's office where we have a full-time district attorney. We've got two full-time deputies, a full-time investigator, and two secretaries. This generates an awful lot more criminal, criminal cases than there were in the past. And it generates court time both from the prosecution's point of view and from the defendant, and these eat up an awful lot of court time. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you very much, Dave. Harold Olson?
Is there anybody left in Columbia County?
Thank you. My name's Harold Olson. I've grown up in Columbia County. I've been there since about 1945 and been practicing in private practice of law since 1967. I think that everybody will agree with me here that during the last several years we've seen an immense growth in our community, and that of course has resulted in a greater burden being put upon the court system. We're fortunate in that we have a conscientious circuit court judge at this time who arrives early at 8:30 in the morning, works through his lunch hour, and works late into the evening. We've seen fit to adopt in the Bar Association an informal rule that says if the judge doesn't get there at 8:30 in the morning, he gets fined a dollar. And we find that the judge contributes, along with the rest of us, to our Christmas party every year. But the point I'm trying to make by this is that it's unfair on the judge, it's unfair on the lawyers, and it's unfair on the litigants. I've been in trial on at least one occasion till 10 o'clock in the evening. We started the trial at 5 o'clock. They'd had a jury trial going all day long. It was 90 degrees out. There was no air conditioning in the courtroom, and we started trial at 5 o'clock and finished it at 10 o'clock in the evening. Now, the burden upon the litigants, the judge, the court reporter, and everybody else that's involved in the trial in a case like that is just not fair. I'd like to also point out that Mr. Sells was correct when he stated that we have these alternate settings for trial dates, and then oftentimes the primary case does not settle. That means the case that was set as an alternate is going to be reset for another 3, 4, 5 months down the line. So instead of talking about a 4 or 5 month waiting period till the time of trial, you're talking about close to a year's waiting period. The one other point that occurred to me when people were talking about the length of time between the date of filing and to the date of trial was that sometimes is not an accurate reflection upon the length of time it takes to get the case decided. Oftentimes, the judge is going to try the case himself. There's not a jury, and there will be briefs and all kinds of legal documents filed. That means that the judge has to sit down and read those briefs. He has to have the time to think about the law, to give consideration to things that the attorneys have given to him in the way of legal matters. This results in sometimes a judge taking 2, 3, 4 months before he can find the time to read the briefs and give the proper consideration to it. The problem then with that is that by the time he gets time to read the briefs, he's forgotten what the facts were in the case because he's tried 20 more cases in that period of time. And so it places an unfair burden upon the judge in trying to render a correct decision. I suspect that that may result in additional appeals on occasion because the litigants feel that due to the length of time between the time the case was tried and the time the decision is handed down, the judge just didn't give fair consideration to their point, and it may result in an increased burden upon the Court of Appeals, the Supreme Court, and the other appellate process. Any questions I can answer?
Chairman, I apologize for coming in the middle of the presentation because I may have missed this fact. Did your Bar Association take this cause to the Oregon Bar Association?
I'll have to defer to Judge Calber or Berkeley Smith on that.
Have you had testimony on that point?
Yeah, we did. We took it to the bar. We gave our statistics. Of course, all we had was we went last year, so we had 76 complaints. statistics from eight get the look from Anchor at 607 filings and 76 in like in Columbia County, and they felt that we didn't meet the criteria that for an additional judge. They, I don't think they voted one way or the other, but they thought that too many juvenile referrals. I don't know how you resolve that problem. Just tell people juveniles commit crimes, don't refer it. But that, in essence, was our response to the State Bar. I don't know, Berkeley, you got anything to add? To
I was in trial, I said. I was there. I was there that essentially,
they
didn't really attempt or haven't attempted since to push through the Bar Association any kind of endorsement for.
No, and frankly, we went to the bar. We figured they'd do what they were going to do, but what they do doesn't make any difference anyhow. This is where it's at here in the legislature. So we really don't care if the State Bar supports it. We don't care if the governor supports it. Well, we care about whether or not the legislature supports it and passes the bill. We think that we, you know, that's why we're here, to show you what we need.
They were here and they testified earlier, and they didn't testify on our bill. Just the other one.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't be authorized to, of course.
Right. And they probably didn't vote on it.
This committee has had some problems with the Bar Association in the past because there don't seem to be any criteria they're very firm for allocating a new judicial position. And so I think the judge is right. It tends to be a matter of county pork barreling, even.
Yeah, and I think they.
But it creates skepticism on the committee's behalf with respect to any case that comes to it, frankly.
I think they support the Washington County bill, which. Pointed out, I mean, if you take a look at the statistics, I think that Columbia County can do better statistic wise than Washington County, but we're not here to throw darts. I'm just responding.
No, but Hughes County wants one, Linn County wants a district judge, Columbia County wants one. So the question is, you're competing in the same, you know, the same apple, so it would be helpful to have those kind of statistics if you give an example. Well, that argument ultimately be made to waste means.
Yeah, I think we, at least we have some statistics here which have been given to us, which we can use for comparative purposes.
Any other questions?
Okay, thanks very much. Greg Lineweber. Just going down the list here.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Greg Lineweber, and I reside in practice law in St. Helens. And I am the present president of the Columbia County Bar Association, and I just want to put on the record that the entire Bar Association, about half of which is sitting here today, fully endorses the placement of a new circuit court judge in Columbia County.
And the 19th Judicial District. Yeah, I think Representative Fulmer has a question.
Yes. Just out of curiosity, the committee does have the option, I suppose, of deciding how that judge would be appointed, when, and so forth. Does the Bar Association have any preference as to whether or not the initial filling of the position should be by election or by gubernatorial appointment?
Well, I think that we would want it right away.
The bill calls for appointment.
Appointment.
Yeah. Okay, Agnes Peterson.
Welcome back.
Good morning. I'm Agnes Peterson, and I practice in St. Helens, Oregon. I, too, have been a lifetime resident of Columbia County, and I have been practicing there since the same year that Judge Calver started. We started practicing that October of 1960 together, some 18 years ago. Now, when I first started practicing, for the first 6 years of my practice, the Bar Association of Columbia County, which were not big in pork barrels and not very smart politically, kept coming to the legislature asking for a judge in that district because we were starting to need one very badly. And for 6 years, we got knocked down because of various things that happened. And what I think is really important is that the legislature actually made the appointment of Judge Calver almost a little too late, but at least in time. And you can see that by your statistics. The legislature was wise in finally granting us a judge in that district. Now, sometimes the legislature, I think, thinks that people come to them and seek them to solve a solution that they haven't worked on themselves, and that's not true in this case. I'd like to give you a list of things that the Columbia County Bar Association and the judge and the docket clerk have done in Columbia County trying to get rid of this horrible problem that we have in trying to get a case set for trial and litigants and lawyers heard. First of all, we established through the Bar Association, a meeting with the Bar Association and the judges, the pretrials that have already been mentioned. Secondly, very recently, which nobody has brought up, but I hope somebody has submitted you a letter, we as members of the Bar Association asked the circuit judge to write to the Oregon State Bar asking for permission to appoint a referee in juvenile cases so that the judge's work in juvenile cases could be taken over by one of the lawyers or by the county former county judge, now county commissioner, or somebody, so that he is not tied up half a day every day in juvenile court. Thirdly, I think we are probably the only county in the state that have an unwritten rule that the case goes until 6 o'clock at night. Now, Judge Calber told you he's 46 years old and he's burned out. He has burned himself out. He has also burned out one court reporter, and he almost burned me out. 4 years ago, he was running all his cases right through the noon hour, and I got numb from the elbow to the edge of the hands and from the knee to my feet. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You're going to have to start eating lunches." So I called the judge, and in danger of being in contempt, I announced to him that I would no longer work through the noon hour. I will tell you that the reason we now stop at 6 o'clock is because his court reporter, who has been with him all the years, developed high blood sugar, and she has to stop working at 6 o'clock and eat. So the last Bar Association, let me tell you what this man tried to do to the members of the Bar Association in order to clear up this docket. He came to us and he said, "All right, I'm willing to do this now to get all the work done. What we will do is work Wynette until 6 o'clock, and then I'm ready to hire Liz Enros, the new court reporter that moved to town, and then we can work from 6 o'clock until midnight or 2 o'clock or however long it takes." The Bar Association, as a group, for the first time, bowed their back and said, "No, we are refusing to work past 6 o'clock. I will tell you that in that courthouse, I have worked as late as 2:30 in the morning. Leonard O'Byrne and I tried a contested case until 2:30 in the morning in order to get the thing completed. I have had many cases that have gone, like Harold Olson mentioned, past 6 o'clock. Sometimes he stops at 6 o'clock, lets his court reporter eat and rest for 1 hour, and then he takes up again at 7. I think that Harold Olson hit the most important case, most important point in this problem, and that is the public is entitled to a judge who not only hears the evidence, but also has time to think, also has time to have judicial excellence. I don't think, now, Calvert tells you he's quitting. He's in good physical health. How, I do not know, but you will never find another judge that will fill that position that way. Nobody is able to continue that kind of abuse. And we ask you, as our representatives, to fill this position and put another position out there. Also, Bob Lucas hit one of the most important things. If any of you have ever practiced as a private practitioner, you know when you have all the problems of hiring and firing and all the administration job, plus you have all the workload in the office, that you are not nearly, cannot handle the amount of business that if you had that shared by two people. The ideal thing would be to appoint a judge resident in Columbia County who could also serve the other areas of the judicial district. Also, we have, from time to time, shared, I don't want to bring this up and scuttle anybody else, but I do want you to know that if we didn't have enough work in Columbia County, we certainly could help taking off some of the burden in Washington County, but I think we have enough work there to keep two judges busy full time. It's also unfair for litigants in the district court to not be able to get their case tried because they are backed up behind a mental hearing, and the mental hearing, and you can't predict how many of those will occur. Judge Mason has been handling them very expeditiously. He starts usually at 8 or 8:30 in the morning. His docket starts at 9:30, and very often you cannot complete a mental hearing in that period of time. So I think that, I hope that this legislature is not like the one that I saw historically 18 years ago. For the first 6 years of my practice, we were coming down here every time that the legislature met trying to get a judge. I hope you will respond to the need. We are not doing this spuriously. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, Marion, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce your last name, County Commissioner.
Hi, Marion Sahagian.
Sahagian, okay.
County Commissioner from Columbia County. I'll be very brief. Our chairman has already submitted a letter expressing the County Commission's support of this judgeship. We meet with the other county commissioners on occasion in the other two counties. They also have expressed their support. I believe Judge Calver has already pointed out that we have facilities for housing an additional judge. While we're always concerned about budgetary matters, I think it's something that we can handle without any great difficulty. So,
I ask you this, from your standpoint and from the administrative support services that, of course, are being used presently and would be required in this case, how do, for instance, your clerk's office fail and people like that? Are they feeling the pressure likewise from the way that Judge Calver is running his court?
That is my impression, yes.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, that's all the people who have signed up on House Bill 2532. Is there anybody that I've skipped that wishes to testify? Judge Hicks, do you have anything to add on any of these bills?
No, I just came in case of any questions or any lack of testimony.
Certainly hasn't been a lack of testimony.
I wouldn't disagree with anything that's been said about any of these bills.
Okay. David, you've got any questions as well? Okay, I'll Joan, you got any other questions?
I'd like to ask Judge Hicks one question.
Okay, Judge Hicks, would you come forward, please, and identify yourself on the record?
I'm Lauren Hicks, the State Court Administrator for the State of Oregon.
Is it true that neither of these circuit court positions is included in the circuit and district court budget that's
no,
currently before?
No, they were not in the budget because the time we were preparing the budget last summer, the local people and the judges had not specifically requested that they be included.
Would you be prepared to go to Ways and Means and support these requests if this committee acted favorably on the bill?
Yes, I personally would, and I'm sure the Chief Justice would also.
Okay.
The district court for Jefferson Cook County is in the budget.
Yes.
And we were anxious to put that in the budget, and as soon as the county commissioners agreed that they would support it, we did include it, and we support that one very strongly. But also, we would support the need in the circuit court in Washington and Columbia.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, I'll close the hearing on House Bill 2532, and if you have any other business for the subcommittee, we will adjourn. That would tell you.